John Betts with my colleague and friend Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. Ukraine-Russia war means NATO is involved profoundly. We have an editorial from the Bloomberg pages these last days pointing to the anxiety in the Baltics. That's Estonia, the smallest, Latvia, Lithuania, the largest. The headline reads, NATO must boost its defense of the Baltics. Subhead, issuing an arrest warrant for Estonia's prime minister is just the latest sign of where Vladimir Putin's aggressions will turn to next. Anatole, you know the story well. The Baltics believe they're next on the shopping list. So does Moldova, which is not a member of NATO, not even a member of the EU. It borders the Danube. It's right opposite Romania. It's very near to Odessa. And it doesn't have any defenses already. Part of it is in revolt, Transnistria. But it's also true in Poland. And also, there's a report that the Western Balkans are being stirred for a new front. That would be Vucic attacking Kosovo, that unsolved wound from the late 20th century. Your measure of NATO, it's now boasting about how it's increasing its expense spending. Is this going in a good direction back to deterrence so that there's stability in Europe? Or are we looking for a larger war in the future and people are buying guns and not butter?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, let's look at military realities. Russia cannot attack Moldova without crossing the whole of Ukraine, which it has signally failed to do. It cannot get to Moldova. The Black Sea Fleet is incapable of landing on the Ukrainian coast. There is a real problem about the Russian-backed separatist area of Transnistria. But Transnistria is completely cut off from Russia by Ukraine and Moldova. I mean, if anywhere is endangered, it's Transnistria, not Moldova at the moment. Putin and every Russian official I've ever talked to has stressed repeatedly they have absolutely no desire or intention to attack Poland. You know, given the past 200 or 250 years of Polish-Russian history, I mean, the reasons for that should be perfectly obvious. and by the way, what happened to our nuclear deterrent? You know, what does the West have nuclear weapons for if not to deter a ground attack on NATO? then, of course, there's the fact that, look, Russia is doing better in Ukraine, but the great Russian victories over the past year have consisted of capturing two small cities, literally, you know, a few miles beyond the previous Russian front line. You know, there's not an indication of an ability to invade Poland and capture Warsaw, for heaven's sake. And by the way, the Russian government, I mean, except for some crazy comments by the former president Medvedev, who's now a notorious alcoholic, by the way, has never actually threatened to attack the Baltic states. Or at least the only time when that came up was when Lithuania proposed to impose European Union sanctions, which would have partially blockaded the Russian exclave of Kaliningrad. Now, of course, if that happens, all bets are off. But I really don't see why Russia, in present circumstances, or even after any conceivable Ukrainian settlement, should go on to attack NATO, at which point it would risk nuclear war, it would risk colossal defeat, it would have the certainty of a maritime blockade, which would cut off much of its energy exports. This is paranoia on our part. It's not serious military or political analysis.
And the war drums in the Baltics will continue.
But the thing is, look, of course we must defend the Baltic states. Having taken them into NATO, we have made an absolute commitment to do that. We should defend them, but that doesn't necessarily mean listening to them.
Right.
Hatred is not analysis. And I'm afraid that in the Baltic states and Poland, there is far too much hatred and far too little analysis.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute. John.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,